Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced at the Melbourne Community Support Program and brought to you through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Welcome to part two of a three-part program featuring the story of Honorine Olsen. I'm Rob Greaves and it's my pleasure to host the program. Born in India in 1939, the Anglo-Indian Honorine shared her stories of growing up in India where her father had a senior position in the Indian Railways. This meant the family was moving almost every 2 years. In order to get a good education, Honorine was educated in boarding schools. She was largely isolated from the mainstream Indian life, and this was something that she came to regret in later years. Honorine became a primary school teacher, yet a constant and reoccurring theme through her story is how she was the one that was always learning. This week we learn how she comes to migrate to Australia, how she settles in, how she takes up teaching, and how she returns to study in order to become qualified to teach children with disabilities. We pick up now with Honorine talking about her sister.
Anything I envy about my sisters is she was so good at Pittman's shorthand. And she'd take these, because I went and I would do longhand with all these lectures I went to. And she would just have squibbles. I envy that. And I'm not an envious person. But I marvel at what she used to
appreciation
do.
For her skill.
For skill. That's it, yeah. Mm. And so Daphne did that. And so Daphne and I, for 10 years, we would hand over our whole paycheck in the altar. Mm. We'd left it in the altar. And I... Oh, this is a little bit private, but it's coming out. And then, 67 and 68, we'd have the Australian High Commissioner would come to Bangalore and invite people to put in an application to migrate to Australia.
Okay.
So Daphne, my younger sister, she's the one who applied, and she came there. And my eldest sister, at this stage, she and her husband, and they had two kids. So they migrated in 68 to Australia.
But you were still working in India. You were.
I was still working.
Yes.
Yeah, so they migrated in 68. And I stopped working at the Frank Anthony Public School in 69, May, April. In May, my two brothers, that's Glenn, Hector, and myself, we travelled to Australia in 69.
As a visit?
No, to live.
Oh, okay. Was this because your sisters were over here?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And they talked it up?
And they sponsored us. There was a priest who sponsored Daphne from one of the churches. I can't remember the details there.
But your mum and dad still alive at that stage?
Oh, yeah.
And they stayed in India?
For a little while. So we came out in 69, and we lived in St. Kilda with my sister and her husband and for a little while, and then we got a big house and we still lived with them for a year because everything was so new, and I got a job. My best teaching years is in Australia. I learned my skills.
Okay, before we look at your teaching career in Australia, coming back, moving from India to Australia, that was a big deal.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal, and also we didn't have a home.
No. And a different country. What was can you recall your first impressions?
Look, I look at it this way, that we were so lucky we had the command of the English language.
Of course you did, yes.
And within 2 weeks I was teaching in Sandringham.
But Australia as a country is so different to India, both in population and in just general culture.
Yeah, yeah.
How did it hit you when you arrived? Did it have an impact on you? Or did you just adapt like that?
I think we just adapted, I think.
Right.
Because that was, look, being in different boarding schools and different houses every year.
You had to adapt.
You adapted, yeah.
Right.
and also my teaching career. I went to different schools, but I know my first job was in Sacred Heart School, Sandringham. I was replacing a nun for 6 weeks, and those nuns were very impressed with my work. Now, that's something I remember, because one of the nuns said, my maiden name is Fernandez. So another lady from India applied, and she said, if she's anything like Miss Fernandez, she'll have a job.
That was very nice.
And I was only there for 6 weeks, and they did not want to see me out in the cold. They got me my next job at St. Joseph's, South Yarra.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was there for about maybe 2 years.
What age group were you teaching?
Oh, I teach primary.
It's primary.
Primary.
Okay.
At that time, I was grade 5 and 6 in St. Joseph's, South Yarra. Very, very small classes. My parents came out in 70. My parents, they sold the house, and Les and Mari were left back. So Les and Mari came with my mum and dad. Now, my dad gave us $2,000. He gave to one of us, Glenn and myself, and we went off and put that, those days you only needed $2,000.
Yes,
in 1970.
Totally different, yes.
So we bought a house in Springvale.
Mm-hmm.
It was a new area. The market gardens were around there. So we bought a house in 70. Must have been that time. And my parents came out by the end of that year. I haven't got the proper dates, but I think late September, my parents came out with Les and Mari. And by this time, I was working at St. Joseph's, and I would take the train back and forth. So I went, approached the nuns, because we'd go as a parish to St. Joseph's in Springbank. So I approached the nuns and the priest, and I asked for a job in Springvale or Noble Park, and I got Noble Park, St. Anthony's. Very close, it was just a bus service. And I worked at St. Anthony's for 4 years. Yes, that was good. I was learning a lot. And then I went to my principal. I said, I've had enough of primary. I want to do something else. And she recommended me to Intellectual Disability School in Marillac, Brighton.
That would have been a challenge for you.
It was a challenge. And I wasn't trained as a special ed teacher then. But I went and worked with them in 1974. And then at that time, there was a shortage of special ed teachers. So the nuns at the school sent another teacher who joined in 74. So Carol, she was trained as a special ed. We're primary school teachers, but trained at special ed. So Carol went to Melbourne Uni in 74, and I went to Marillac that year, and I was teaching there. In 75, the nuns sent me off to Melbourne Uni to do special ed. I was lucky, very lucky.
Was that a full-time course? Yeah,
full-time course.
So you're back as a student now.
I was, and I would have been 30-something.
Mm-hmm.
But
was that a different experience being older?
Oh, yeah, you're a bit slower, you can't memorize. But it was good because here again, we were all mature aid students.
Yes.
And we'd all come from different primary schools, and I made a lot of friends there, and that's where I learned my skills.
You suddenly felt like your school level.
I learned my skills.
Right.
It was something that there were gaps. However, when I finished with Marillac, that year, 70, I was 74, 75, I went to special ed. I went back in 76. In 1977, I was getting bored again. So I went off to Nauru and I volunteered as a teacher there.
Listen to Older Voices, where you hear stories from older people who chose to make Australia their home. And I'm talking with Honorine Olsen, and Honorine is talking about her work as a teacher, including the time she worked as a volunteer teacher on Nauru.
That would have been a very interesting period.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. And I went through nuns. Then they have a convent in Bentley. Sacred Heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went to, it was very interesting. And the Australian teachers who go out, we're in charge of two very big men. We have to teach them skills. And they were huge. So I had these two men and I had to teach them, which was wonderful. They were very respectful, very nice. But the Nauruans are very lazy. They don't work. And they drink a lot.
Right.
And we have to wait for food and drinks and everything to come from Australia. You wait for the ship to turn up. And when the boat is in, the Nauruans will be seen drinking all the beer they've had. So they don't get to work. And the nuns would drive around in the ute to pick up all these teachers. And they might get a dollar that week.
Wow.
So, but it was an interesting experience. Yeah.
So it sounds like it would almost... two sides of one coin. There was the pleasure you got out of teaching in the different environment, but it must have also been sometimes a little bit distressing seeing the situation as it was.
But the Nauruans were lovely people. Oh, you sort of saw that, but they were so welcoming and so giving, and they were the nicest people. Though they had a lot of money those days, they were getting it from
the phosphates.
That's right. Yes. And they squandered the money. They squandered it. They would come on a jet to Australia, and they would live in all these hotels. And I went to visit one of the teachers. Then I was totally disgusted with their manner of life.
Yes.
They didn't use it wisely. But my life in Nauru was lovely. The sea was there, and my bedroom was here, and I'd hear the crabs coming up my bed. And the fish, the men would bring us huge fish here. It was
good. So it was a lovely lifestyle.
It was good. I was only there for 3 months. I went as a volunteer, and I was so broke. I had to come back, and I'd bought myself a unit in Armidale.
Right.
I was so broke, and I needed the money, so I left after 3 or 4 months. I went in September, I left that December, I didn't go back. But it was a good life. It was an experience.
Good
experience. Yes. And the Nauruans were the nicest people.
So you went back into teaching?
I came back to Melbourne, and I got a job at, that's the school I learned my skills again. The skills I learned in the university, I went to, what's it called? In Fitzroy, Sacred Heart Fitzroy. And the children out there are just magnificent. They come from all walks of life. We had the boat people coming in. People, you know, we had the South Americans, the war in South America, Pinochet.
Yes.
They were there. A lot of South Americans, a lot of Greeks, Italians, Vietnamese. I just loved it.
So you really sound like, apart from education, the other thing that gives you great pleasure is immersing yourself in different cultures.
In cultures, yes, I did immerse myself. Oh, the foods and the peoples, and Fitzroy was got to different know because you really, we had very big classes those days. That was in 78, 45.
That's, even for that period, that's still large.
It was still, the nuns would say, but I had 60, and we'd say, but you can't teach. I mean, I grew up.
Yes.
But, you know, the nuns, they were not very conducive, and not, we didn't get any empathy from them. But at Fitzroy, I worked with an American lady. She was Denise. I'm still friendly with them 40 years later.
Excellent.
Rosa was Italian. Carol was the one we did special ed together. Mm-hmm. She went. So Carol was looking for a job, and I said, there's a job here. So she came in as the special ed teacher at Fitzroy, and I was a classroom teacher. And Trudy, she was Dutch Spanish or something like that. And we learned from each other. The skills I picked up in uni, and it was all reinforced at Fitzroy.
Right.
My best teaching years.
And how long were you there for?
4 years.
So there were 4 fabulous years.
4 fabulous. And I still keep in touch with these ladies.
That's great. Yeah. That's fantastic.
We have lunch once a year. It's once a year because they're all grandmothers now.
Yes.
And from there, I think about this period, I met my husband.
I was just about to ask you where your husband
Where does he fit in? Well, he's
so it's around this period of time.
I met
his name?
Sven.
Sven?
Yeah. It was Danish.
With a name like Sven?
Sven, yes.
So how does a woman who was bred and born in India with a strong Anglo background in Australia meet Sven? How did that come about?
And look, we just blended in.
But how did
because
you meet
I met him at a party. That's what you did those days. Well, today you have all these wonderful things,
right.
Harmony and whatever.
So you went to a party. Right?
I married quite late in life.
Well, before we get to the marriage, you're at this party.
Yeah.
Did Sven approach you or did you approach Sven?
Oh, he came and asked me to dance, and then we just stayed there. And I remember those days, I used to go off to maths class on a Monday, and Tuesday I'd go to the theatre with a group of girls, and Wednesday I'd go elsewhere. So he kept asking me. I said, no, I'm busy this week. And then, fortunately or unfortunately, my girlfriend's mother or auntie, we used to go to the Melbourne Theatre Company, we'd go to plays. Mm-hmm. Her aunt passed away, so we couldn't go to the theatre. So I rang Sven. I said, I'm free today. So that started the...
That started your relationship.
Yeah.
If I could be so bold as to ask you, from that point in your life onwards, did you recognise very quickly that he was the man for you, or did it take...
Oh, I knew immediately.
You knew immediately.
Yeah, we knew, right. Because we married within 6 or 8 months or something.
Right. That must have been an exciting moment for you.
It was good, yeah.
Because you've done a lot of things, but they've all been on your own. You, as you said,
yeah.
Close family, but for circumstances as you outlined, not really
not
close
really,
like
no,
that.
No.
So
yeah, and at this time I'd bought another house. I'd sold my unit in Armidale, and I bought a house in McKinnon. Now, these are, they're very, very important in my life because I had... I knew what I wanted in my house. I wanted an old house. I wanted one of these with lead light doors and windows and that sort of thing, because when I took the tram down to Brighton, Marillac House, I'd go down Hawthorne, and every day I'd buy a different house in my mind.
Yes.
Because I just loved those old houses.
The old styles, as you said, with the stained glass.
And
verandas. They have a really beautiful image,
beautiful,
don't they?
And that the timber,
The finished timber work.
And on the top. And I bought a house.
And you bought
That was my dream house. I bought
How
it.
How wonderful.
And about this time I'd met my husband, but I bought the house. And we didn't stay long. We stayed there for a year, and then we moved to Queensland.
Okay, before we get to Queensland, I'll take you back a little bit on this journey with Sven. Where did you and Sven get married? Whereabouts?
Very interesting. Now, Sven was a divorcee, a divorced person. I, very Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
It was unheard of those days.
Yes.
And the Catholic Church wouldn't have a bar of me. So we did go to church. And then another friend of mine, she was from Sri Lanka, and she married... a person who was divorced, and she married him in the Anglican church in Malvern. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful church. St. John's Anglican Church. It's on near Central Park, that area. A beautiful church, and the priest there was just wonderful. He married us in the church.
So even though you had a fairly strong Catholic background, you were quite happy.
Oh yes, I was quite happy. I was quite happy.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories. I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with Honorine Olsen, and Honorine is recalling her marriage to Sven.
My mother was not happy.
Your mother wasn't? Because he wasn't Catholic, or...?
Yeah, he wasn't Catholic, but also my mother, I sort of did things my way.
Well, I mean, without putting too fine a point on it, you now really are quite a grown woman,
quite
aren't
a grown
you?
Woman,
who knows
yes.
what she wants in life.
That's right,
as much as you love Mum, you weren't going to...
No, and they used to say I always did what I wanted to do within reason. But anyway, yes.
Did she ever take to Sven?
Oh, yes, my family loved him. Yes, they're very, very fond of each other. He was good. He was a good husband. He was. He could put his hand to anything. He was.
What was his background? What was his work?
He was in printing, graphics, printing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he had good jobs in the Courier Mail in Brisbane.
So he was actually a printer?
A printer, yeah. Actually, not in that field, but he was, what do they call themselves, the next hype. But he did everything, went from printing. He learned his trade in Denmark and, some sort of in the managerial position, okay. Something yes. like that. Yes. Yeah, about this time we decided, we lived in McKinnon for a year and a bit, and then Sven said, oh, we better go, we can move on. And I said, okay, I'm happy to go because I like to travel, I like to move on. And we went to Brisbane, we bought a house there, a high-set house, and I hate to say this, but at that time in the 80s, the Queenslanders were not very house proud. We bought this very big house, but whatever we saw, we were not happy with. And finally, we saw this, and there was a marital breakdown, so the house was divided off. We were able to live upstairs, but downstairs we began to build. My husband would put his hand to anything. He began to build and do things. We renovated for 6 years. And a lot of money. But anyway, we sold 6 years later in early 90s, and we bought land near Bribie Island, Bribie Pines Estate. We built a beautiful house there.
That would have been quite a nice lifestyle, wouldn't
it? It was lovely, very nice. And I'd drive to work. At that time, I was teaching in the special school in Sandgate. And then I went from Sandgate, where did I go? Pine River Special.
So you're still working in special ed?
Now I'm special ed, yeah. Yes. The job fell in my lap, actually. We were living in Sandgate, and I needed to do something for my time as I was filling out applications. And I did religion at Sandgate, and the principal came up and said, he said, I hear you're a teacher. I said, yes. Would you like to work here? I said, yes.
Most of us have some, because we've gone through the process, yeah. Understanding about teachers and probably yeah. why people go into teaching and the rewards. But working in special ed, what was it about working with kids with special needs that you enjoyed so much?
That was my training. I trained in Melbourne Uni.
That's what you were trained in, but what for you personally, what did you get out of it? What was it about
enjoyed? It was so endearing. And even though we didn't mollycoddle or we were not, there was the empathy, but not the sympathy.
Totally understand, yes.
And they're the most delightful people. They're so grateful and so loving and caring. And if you did one little thing for them, they would really love you forever. Now, I loved my special ed days. Sandgate was the special school was, they were not very disabled. They were intellectually, so they were able to communicate and do a lot of things. And it's something, a radio announcer was talking about how, and he's from Brisbane, Ross and John, I don't know if you hear them, they're on every morning. One of them is from Brisbane, and he mentioned how they didn't wear shoes in Brisbane. And in my mind, I remember the children would go to Sandgate and they did not wear shoes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But I could not be sure I was seeing right.
Of course.
Coming from Melbourne, we're clad.
Oh, yeah. Believe it.
But then when he said that, but then I think latterly they began to wear shoes because yes. they were beginning to take in the 80s, they were beginning to look at themselves and take a, and of course the schools had some set goals addressing. So that was Sandgate. It was good. I learned quite a bit there. But from Sandgate, there again, we moved to Bribie further north. And then I went to a school in Pine Rivers. Pine Rivers.
Where is Pine Rivers? I don't know
Pine Rivers. Pine Rivers is near Launton, Strathpine.
No, so Brisbane suburbs, are they?
They're all suburbs in Brisbane, okay. Yes. So we're looking at from Brisbane. We went along the water to Sandgate. And then I came back south to Pine Rivers, was in Launton. And there were two of us, we ran the unit. At this stage, now we're running the unit, two of us, and we had a lot of help, a lot of teacher aides.
Yes.
And then we began to get, parents began to exercise their right to children to go into these schools and be included in everything.
In the final program next week, we learn much about Honorine's husband Sven, their life together, how they travelled to Sven's home in Sweden, and Honorine's thoughts on the future. That's next week, the final part of the story of Honorine Olsen on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Turek Times.